I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
So let's start in on that, because I'm sure whatever thoughts you and I have about this game, 27-14, the final score, the Texans lose to the Browns today. Whatever other thoughts we have will be embedded in these players we're about to name. Let's start with the positive, as that gets harder and harder to do every week. John, are you yawning for effect right now, or are you yawning because I'm bringing stock up, or are you actually like somewhat tired right now? You yawned when I said four stock up. It's funny, you know, either way.
I'm yawning because I'm tired, but yep. You know, covering this team is such a bore. And today was the last game that really was interesting. You know, Even the Cowboys going to kill them, even the Jaguars. It's so funny. Everybody thinks Jaguars turn a corner, then they get killed again. Everybody's talking about Mike White, the Jets, they get beat. So maybe they'll fool around and beat the Jaguars. But right now, today was the last game. Other than the last, I'll be interested in the last game of the season because it's the last game of the season.
Yeah.
And you don't want them to be in a position to win it and perhaps screw up that first pick. And that's why I'm yawning. It's not you. Don't take
okay.
It.
Okay. Well, I didn't think it was me.
It's the Texans.
Yeah. No. I didn't think it was me. I thought maybe when I brought, because you started yawning as soon as I said four stock up, and that would have been funny to yawn as if to say, four. Can we find, you're going to find four, Sean? Okay.
I'm struggling.
I know. Me too. But that's why I let you go first, John. If you're struggling, I want you to go first and I'll deal with the fallout from it. What is your first stock up for this game today?
Well, I've been searching and it's tough. I thought, well, Damian Pierce, but you know what? He had 18 yards rushing in the last three quarters.
Yeah.
And, so I'm going with a guy that scored 2 points. Roy Lopez tackled Nick Chubb in the end zone for a safety that gave them a 5-0 lead. Lopez got hurt at the end of the game. And first time I've heard Lopez's name in a while. And he got the safety. So Roy Lopez's stock is up.
Okay, stock up on Roy Lopez. I like that. He was hurt at the end of the game, John? I didn't see that.
Yeah, he got hurt. Lovey didn't act like it was anything bad, but he gone in the tent.
Okay. All right, well, I don't like that. I like Roy Lopez personally, so I want to see him stay healthy. All right, my stock up, John, is somebody that you know and love, you're very fond of, and he was our guest on the post-game show today, and he had what, if he were playing for an actual decent football team, what would have been an early game-changing turnover for the Texans. But ultimately, we probably had a feeling the game was going to end up the way it did. But Jalen Petrie, the rookie safety, it was really, really good to see him, John, get back onto the box score, making a play like that. He had the pick last week against Miami. They got called back because of a penalty. That pick really happened because of the penalty. So it's not as though Jalen Petrie made this great play, and then somewhere across the field there was some other penalty. He doesn't get that pick without that pass interference. But this was one where he made this play, John. Like he made the decision. He took us through it on the post game show. It was something he saw in film and he watched Deshaun's eyes and he had a feeling when he saw the formation that this is where he was going to go with the ball. It was a classic reason why they drafted Jalen Petrie, just a completely cerebral, heady play. And then able to secure the ball and make a, you know, get a decent return out of it as well. And he had 16 tackles today as well. Some of them were those tackles down the field where you just need someone to bring down a Nick Chubb or a receiver who's rumbling on yards after the catch. But he made some plays, some impactful tackles as well in this game. So Jalen Petrie, John, who I love dearly. He's a great kid. I was glad to see him have a good game today.
He returned that interception, 29 yards, put him in position to score, and Pep Hamilton blew it with four of the worst plays I've ever seen. We'll get to that in a minute. It's interesting. Lovie Smith said, well, we moved him back to free safety. Well, at Baylor, he played around the line of scrimmage, and that's where he played his best. Now they've backed him up where he's going to have to make more open field tackles. But, you know, ordinarily I'd say they know what they're doing, but they haven't done much this year. It makes us think they know what they're doing. But, you know, Petrie has up until these last two games, have been among the league leaders of defensive backs and missed tackles, which was not an issue of them in college. But I'm glad you guys put him out there. And I'm thinking, let's see, there's got to be a second one. I'm going to say Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard together because, number one, they did – Kyle Allen was not sacked. He was only hit two times. And you had Myles Garrett, who had one tackle for loss and one quarterback hit, no sacks. Jadeveon Clowney had one tackle, one assisted tackle, no tackles for loss, and no quarterback hits. And – I was told by the Cleveland people he was really excited to play here. Problem for him is nobody realized he was playing here for the first time because it's all about Watson.
Yep.
But they did, the two of them did a really good job of keeping Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney away from Kyle Allen, which is another reason Allen's performance was so bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was getting hit and sacked a lot like he had been.
Nope. And even in the interior too, I thought the offensive line did a pretty good job today, across the board protecting him. But those were the two high profile matchups because of who the edge guys are for the Browns. Hey, John, just to circle back to something you said there real quick about, Petrie and this change of free safety, you know, strong safety to free safety and how they're using him. I don't really care how any of these guys are being used or not used right now because none of these coaches are going to be here next year. You know, right. And I'm not saying don't bring it up. I'm just saying like you bringing it up makes me think because I think it's a good point. Like, okay, is he being used properly? And then I'm going, these guys are all going to be gone in five games. Like, Lovey's opinion on what Jalen Petrie is doesn't matter one bit to me. Not a single tiny bit. My last stock up, John, this is not a player. I'm gonna go a little different here. It's not even a coach. It's not even a front office executive. It's not even the mascot. It's not even the owner. It is the wife of the owner, Cal McNair. Did you see the video of Hannah McNair before the game that Albert Breer caught down on the field?
I did not.
Okay. Well, Deshaun Watson, I'll send it to you after we're done. Deshaun Watson came out onto the field, in uniform, you know, to start warming up, you know, just loosen up. It's that kind of that warm up they do before they go back in the locker room and then come back out again.
Yeah.
And Deshaun runs out onto the field, does a thing where he touches his chest twice and kisses his fingers and points at God because he's a God fearing guy and whatnot. And then he starts sort of jogging to go get in line with his teammates to do stretching or whatever. And he sees Cal. He walks over to Cal to shake. Cal's, of course, standing with Hannah. Walks over to shake hands with Cal, and as he's walking over to shake hands with Cal, Hannah McNair turns her back to him and just stands there. Didn't turn her back to start talking to anybody, just turned around and would not face Deshaun Watson and snubbed him.
Good
John.
For her.
That's what I said.
Did he come over and Cal shook hands with him?
Cal, briefly, like 2 seconds, yeah. Shook hands, whispered something to him, and then Deshaun was on his way. But Hannah was having none of it. And I love that.
Good for Hannah.
Yeah, I like that. So, Hannah McNair, congratulations. You found your way into 4 Stock Up and 4 Stock Down on the Utopia Football Podcast. All right, John, the easier part of this to do each and every week, 4 Stocks Down. Go ahead.
First of all, it's got to start. It seems old because I did this last week. And then when I did the pregame with you and Seth, when you ask about who's got to improve, mm-hmm. and I said Kyle Allen and Pep Hamilton, and both of them were awful. And it was on the get-go, an interception on the first series. The opponent has as many points as the Texans on the first series of the game in all their games. And that was pick six. Of course, they have one touchdown, Davis Mills pass against Philadelphia. But both of them are awful. They need to go back to Mills. They need to give that play call to anybody. I've been writing for the last few weeks, Ben McDaniels, the receivers coach, give it to him. Maybe a little of his brother rubbed off on him. I don't know. But anybody, nobody could be worse. I saw one of Gary Kubiak's sons, client who's at Cowboys. He was scouting, and I told him when he left, I said, ask your dad how much it would take for him to come back and call plays and play quarterback.
No kidding. And play quarterback.
Couldn't be any worse.
No, it could not. It absolutely could not. So, John, was that Pep Hamilton or Kyle Allen or both that you just
both
used?
Both of them. They're a package deal.
Okay. So we need to just point out once again, this isn't even a debate or a discussion or an argument. This is just providing more detail because we would be remiss on this podcast not to bring up the most egregious sequence of play calling that Pep Hamilton had. Two of them back to back. One, the drive where the Texans worked their way into Browns territory that ultimately wound up with the first field goal of the game with the 3-0 lead. They had a first and 30 because of a Brevin Jordan face mask and a false start, I think, by Titus Howard.
It was.
And it was first and 30 at about the 35-ish yard line for the Texans, and the Browns' 35-yard line. Pep Hamilton runs the ball up the middle on first and 30. It's second and 24. He runs the ball up the middle again, which I think is conservative and silly, but I go, okay, you know what? Kyle Allen's a shaky quarterback. This is a game where, at least early on, it's looking like your defense looks okay, and it's first and 30. You know, I can see an argument for, you know, we're just going to run it three times, not put the ball in the air, and just kick a field goal. You know, kick
and
a
win 3-0.
What's that?
Win 3-0.
Yeah. Like, just I could see them setting that up. He runs it twice up the middle and then throws a fade into the back of the end zone. So, like, what you're telling me is you thought it was a good idea to go get 8 yards when you have first and forever to use two plays up to get 8 or 9 yards. Just atrocious. And then that sequence doesn't even land in the same universe as them getting first and goal at the 3 or 4 yard line. First and goal at the 3, up 3-0. You have a chance to go up 10-0 early in this game and really get the crowd in the game, you know? I mean, think about what the booing for Deshaun would have sounded like at that point if you get a 10-0 lead in that game. And not only does he run four plays down there and not use Damian Pierce.
He wasn't even on the field for the first three.
He doesn't have
him. He was injured.
I did too. He doesn't even have him on the field. He passes the ball from the 3 twice. He runs Dari Ogunbowale on third down.
Couldn't buy playing time most of the season.
And now they're running him early in game. And then so it's 4th and goal from the 1, and he calls a pass play to a rookie fullback who was a linebacker this time last year.
Awful. Just
John, he shouldn't
awful.
Have been allowed back on. Pep Hamilton, I'm getting so angry just talking about this again right now. He shouldn't have been allowed back on the field after halftime. He should have had his headset taken away right then and there. What are you doing?
I wrote it was his worst sequence of the season, which is saying something because he's had so many. I just don't understand it. And you could tell Lovey, he talked about, you know, we need to do better, blah, blah, blah. We should have done this, should have done that. But the fact is, Pep was probably the only person in that stadium who thought Damian Pierce should not touch the ball from the 3-yard line one time.
Crazy. Just absolutely, absolutely crazy. All right. So 4 stock up and 4 stock down. And you just snagged Kyle Allen and Pep Hamilton, John. That's but they are packaged. I will give you that. They are a package deal. I know this guy had 4 catches in this game.
Wait, I got another one. I get a second one. That's just one.
Well, no, I didn't. Did I give one yet? Did I?
I thought you were talking about the play sequence. That was your first one.
You know what? Yes. I was just injecting more detail into the, you know, the one you gave, John, is the headliner. Like, other than Watson, and I'm not going to put Watson in here, but I think today was a stock down day for Watson probably. But yes, you know what? I will take your stock up, stock down, and I will, my stock down is the play calling sequence. So go ahead. You're next.
That play calling sequence may have been, I can't remember everyone in Texans and Oilers history, of course, but I can't remember any that I thought were worse than that. When if Pierce had been on the field, they'd run him twice for 1 yard.
Yeah.
And then thrown an incompletion, then giving it to Pierce on fourth at the one he stuffed. At least you've gone with your best people, and they didn't do it. And I thought, okay, maybe Pierce is hurt. I was sitting next to Mark Berman, and I said, get your glasses and find Pierce down there. I thought he might be in a tent. He said, the blue tent's not up. I said, well, look. He said he's standing on the sideline, and he's going in. So I'm like, what in the world? And, you know, after a game, Lovey's so tied up with the defense making calls.
Yeah.
He didn't know what Pep did, why Pep did it. You know, he should have a better idea on Monday. But that just, and, you know, how do you explain that to Caserio and the McNairs?
I don't know.
About why you did that, about why you did the thing you were talking about earlier. You know, it wasn't Pep's fault about Howard and Brevin Jordan, but still. It's indicative of just how bad this offense is. And let's see who I can pick for my second one besides Kyle Allen. And, you know, they're, you know, it's weird. No sacks, no drop passes.
Yeah.
They didn't have a lot of penalties. Those two hurt them on that drive, but I think they only had three the rest of the way. I'm trying to think. Excuse me, I guess. Sorry.
That's okay.
The pass rush, they had one sack by Ugbo Okoronkwo. They didn't have any from anybody else. You know something? When Watson threw that ball we thought was a fumble that Jerry Hughes picked up and ran, when I watched that replay, I didn't think he was trying to throw it. You know, he brought it around and went down, and he wasn't trying. He was trying to pull it in, and he fumbled. And I thought Lovey might have called a timeout.
Yeah, timeout there to let him look at it again.
Yeah,
right?
It was inside 2 minutes. You can't challenge it, but if you call a timeout and somehow maybe like you could at least look at it.
Right.
But so I'm going to say Lovey Smith. Lovey is going to get fired after 1 year. And I thought he at least should have called a timeout there, hoping that they might have looked at it because you don't just give it up. Did you watch the replay?
I did.
His arm went all the way through. He didn't throw the ball. It went all the way through and then hit the ground.
Yeah, I did. I was hoping at least Lovey would call a timeout there. You know, I think it's interesting, John, just in doing this podcast with you since training camp, is that there was a point early in the season where probably some of the Lovey Smith firing stuff was coming out of the woodwork, and you were adamantly didn't think Lovey Smith would get fired. And I think there were a lot of people that agreed with you at the time. Like, there's no way they would fire there's no way they would want to have 2 1-and-dones back to back. And then somewhere along the way, fairly recently for you, it was, If they keep playing like this, he will.
If they
get fired.
Keep getting embarrassed,
they keep getting embarrassed. And now we are at the stage where you just said the words, Lovey Smith is going to get fired at the end of the year.
They're going to clean house. So after the Eagles game, they had a chance in the fourth quarter. It was respectful. The Giants game was respectful, and then the next two against Washington and Miami were just pathetic.
Yeah.
And so that's why I thought he's going to get fired. Now, they couldn't sell this to the fan base. I don't know how they could sell it to the sponsor. You know, if they hired D'Amico Ryans and drafted Bryce Young, although I had a friend of mine who stood next to Bryce Young last year at the Super Bowl, sent me a picture about how small he is, not just small, but frail. You know, he's barely 5'10", not 6 foot, and he weighed 185. Yeah, I tell you what, he's going to – he'll go, his agent will have him on a humongous eating program before he gets to the combine so he can get up. That's what they did with Kyler Murray, hoping to get him up to 200. And so Bryce Young would go in there like, and everybody like, what is he? You know, unlike the NBA, who measures them in tennis shoes because they play in tennis shoes.
Right.
They do it barefoot, even though they don't play in barefoot, but they think he's closer to 5'10 than 6 foot, and he better be somewhere at least 195 to 200. But if it's Bryce Young and D'Amico Ryans, and D'Amico gets a real good proven coordinator and play caller, I think the fan base, they won't lose a fan base.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll be a little reinvigorated. All right. My last one, John, it's somebody who didn't even play today. It's Davis Mills. And here's why. This was a winnable game. And Davis Mills, if Davis Mills could have just kept his job, like look at what his backup is, John. Like look at what Davis Mills' backup is. We've now gotten a taste of what Kyle Allen is in NFL games in a Texans uniform. That's the bar he had to clear to be able to just keep his job. This was such a winnable game today, John. Such a winnable game that I do feel like in the eyes of the fan base, and we know how fan conscious the Texans are right now, that at least in the eyes of some within the Texans, maybe not Caserio because he's not operating on emotion, but Davis Mills, because he couldn't keep his job more than 11 weeks into this season, when the bar was so low for him to just keep the thing. I mean, they handed it to him. They handed him a captaincy. If he could have just kept his job, John, his B-minus game probably wins this game today. And then Davis has a really, truly kind of feel-good thing that he beats Deshaun Watson. So my stock down is Davis Mills because, son, you can't even keep your job through 11 weeks with Kyle Allen as your main competition. And because of that, you missed out on an opportunity to actually win over some hearts and minds. Maybe not as much, maybe not enough to where people then see him as the starter next year or even are giving him a chance in these last five games to earn that spot. But at least maybe, you know, in that sort of wing of quarterbacks that the Texans have had, like T.J. Yates, you know, who won a playoff game and won the occasional Bengals game and is beloved for just that one little niche. If Davis Mills could have been the guy that beat Deshaun Watson in his return to NRG Stadium, then he gets the "I'm going to buy that guy a drink" treatment because of that Deshaun Watson game back in Week 13. But alas, no. Davis, not good enough to hold his job.
And Davis Mills didn't hold his job because he coached terribly by Pep Hamilton, because offense and his game plan and his play calls.
I love it. John, your vendetta with Pep Hamilton is fun for me because I share the same feelings as you do. He's just so bad. He's the worst.
He got fired in November of 2015 as offensive coordinator and play caller when Andrew Luck was his quarterback.
Yeah. What are we doing?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.